Thank you, Fred. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 teaches that Christians are to seek first the kingdom. Many in the world around us have misunderstandings about what the kingdom is. I would encourage you, if you're able to be with us for our 11 o'clock service. We're going to spend some time talking about what the Bible says about the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. Our lesson as we begin this morning, though, is going to be a little bit different. And if you're visiting with us, I want to offer a little bit of an apology in the fact that what we're going to talk about for the next few moments is something very personal to many of the members here. You may not have quite as much connection to the things that we're going to talk about. But I want to introduce you to someone that we recently lost on December 17th. A faithful member of this local church, Ray Aplin, passed away from this life. Over the years, there have been many members that have been gravely important, very important to the work here. But I think all members would recognize that Ray was unique. He set an example that will long be remembered, and he has left a void by his absence that no one will ever fill. A few of our members knew him years ago before he had some of the difficulties that characterized much of his life. They knew him to be a twin brother. He had a twin brother that lived very near him for much of his life, and they maintained a very close relationship. He had another brother that lived with him in his last years as well. He was the son of an elder in a church in Dumas. He was married. He was a trained nurse. And from what he tells me, he actually used to ride motorcycles and made it to every state west of the Mississippi. I don't think Hawaii was one of them, but he made it to all the others. And then, as Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 describes, the difficult days came. This text urges us, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Ray had a stroke and was paralyzed on one side of his body. From what I am told, Ray fought back and worked hard and did all that he could and actually was able to restore his body to full functioning, and then got meningitis, and his paralysis returned, never again to leave him throughout the rest of his life. At some point during these trials, his wife left him. As we think about what the Bible teaches about the importance of our bond to one another as husband and wife, I have often cited that bad example to show how we need to be with one another, even in those times of difficulty. The rest of his life, Ray would walk slowly on a cane. He would drag one foot, and he would struggle to use his paralyzed arm and hand. As all of us knew, Ray could only say a few words and a few phrases that, for whatever reason, seemed to come easy to him and naturally to him. You might say, are you doing good today? And Ray would say, nobody's told me any different. How often did we hear him say that? He was frustrated, I think, over the fact that he couldn't express the words that were in his heart. And many of us perhaps saw him times in which he would be struggling to try to say something, and he'd put his hand to his head or to his mouth and say, it's right there. And if we were to say to him, Ray, I'm sorry, how often would it be that we would hear him say, it is what it is? I never heard Ray complain or offer excuses or act with rudeness to anyone. In spite of the fact that, if I am correct in my understanding, he was in almost constant pain and discomfort. There'd be times
maybe at breakfast when he groaned a little bit. And I really think that was just the few times maybe we got to see what he felt on an ongoing basis. The Bible teaches us about a man named Job that, as we remember, the Bible teaches that Satan came before God and made the request to plague Job with various difficulties. And we remember the great example of Job, that he never spoke evil against God. But there is a statement that reminds me of Ray in Job chapter 13 and verse 15. Where Job, I don't really think he was blaming God so much as saying, if in his providence he allows these things to happen, though he slay me, yet I trust him. And I think of that when I think of Ray. Before I met him, his mother had moved to Amarillo to help him. And together, as some of our longtime members here well remember, they were at every service that they ever possibly could be, every time the doors were open. She moved here to help him. And then, as the years went on and her health began to decline, they would still both be here every service they possibly could. I've tried to think as I was putting together these thoughts, you know, there'd be times where one of them would be sick and that kind of thing, but more often than not, every single service you would see Ray coming in on his cane, and then later, or with him, his mother pushing her own oxygen tank, but they would be here. When she passed away, he continued in his faithful service to the Lord, driving himself as long as he was able. And that always was such a great example to me, because he had to learn how to drive again. He had to learn how to figure out how to use what he still had that could function. But until very close to the very end, he still could drive. You'll remember he had a fall sometime back, and after that, he was no longer able to. But in the years that I have known him, he would drive himself. The Apostle Peter taught over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Ray would not only be among the first to make it to services. I usually try to come over when I'm not running behind a half hour early. And Ray would be among those few that would get there just shortly after that. But not only would he be there and arrive at every service of the local church on our Sunday services and our Wednesday services, but he would also be here every night during gospel meetings. He would be signing up to get CDs so he could listen to those lessons again later at home. He would also be at other special studies or summer Bible studies. He would be at home Bible studies that would be in different people's homes, and he would be there every time he possibly could. I was thinking about this, and I think this is a fair statement to make. Beyond any doubt, Ray brought more visitors with him to services on a regular basis, whether it was family or friends, I think, than any other member. And that says something, doesn't it? Because if anybody would have found that to be difficult, it could have been Ray. And yet, he did that. Years ago, when Olson Park changed our Sunday services to 9, 10, and 11, so we are together three times in the morning, not only did Ray continue to be here all three services, I mean, again, in pain, he could have very easily just headed on home after one of the services, but to the best of my memory, most often he was here all three. But that wasn't all. He as well was still hungry for the word of God. Like a newborn babe, he desired the pure milk of the word. And from what I understand and what I am told by members at South Georgia, an area congregation, he would also, almost every Sunday evening at 6 p.m., go and visit at South Georgia. He loved God's word, and he loved God's people. The Apostle Paul taught over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor," from the New American Standard Version. Since at least 2006, many of the men of this congregation have gotten together Wednesday mornings for breakfast at an area restaurant. And if you aren't aware of that, anybody's welcome to come. It's not a work of the church, but it's just something in which we individually get together. Ray, whether it was rain or snow, and I emphasize that in particular because there was more than one occasion in which somebody maybe didn't get the word to Ray that, hey, we're not going to try to get out the snow, and Ray'd be there. Or dust storm, Ray'd be there. Ray drove himself to breakfast as long as he possibly could. And when he no longer could, he'd get one of his brothers to drive him to breakfast so he could be there. And I'll tell you, the men who were at that breakfast know that the staff knew him by name. It was almost the old deal, walk in, hey, Ray, almost that kind of thing. They certainly memorized his order. Though he couldn't say many words, he could say special hash browns, crispy raisin toast. I forgot what kind of eggs he got. It may have been scrambled. But I remember these words that he would get out. And even if it was one of those days where he struggled with it, they'd fill in the blanks for him because they knew that. He liked to take home the extra cinnamon rolls, and the staff would bag those up so he could take them home and eat on those. When it came the latter months of his life in which he could no longer come, it reflected the impression he had made on people, that the staff regularly would come to us and say, "How's Ray doing? What do you hear about Ray?" And in fact, before his death, the staff, while they would regularly say, "Well, we're keeping him in prayer, we're keeping him in prayer," the owner of the restaurant actually said, "Well, I'd like to take him some food. Do you think that they'd let me?" And I don't think that ever worked out, but efforts were made to try to do that. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, the context is clearly talking about qualifications for those leaders within a local church. But one of the qualifications, while Ray might not have been able to serve in that role, this certainly applied to Ray. He had a good testimony among those who were outside. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7 from the New King James Version. Now, I want us to think a little bit about that. Because in the time that I knew Ray, I never heard him preach a sermon. He never taught a Bible class. He never offered an invitation. He never led a prayer. He never served at the Lord's table. He never served as an elder, a deacon, a preacher, or a Bible class teacher. He couldn't do those things. But few have served the Lord more faithfully or played as vital a role in the strength and work of this local church than Ray Aplin. You know, it's easy for most of us, I think, sometimes to focus on what we can't do. And we've all done it, haven't we? We'll say, "Well, I can't do such and such because of such and such reason, or because of this reason." I am sure that there are times when Ray must have struggled with the challenges of his condition. All of us would look at what he had to face, and we would say, "It isn't fair. Why should such a sweet man have had to bear so much. Some of us might have been angry with God, or we might blame God. I'm reminded of the text that tells us about Naomi. You'll remember Naomi, who was the wife of a man from the area of Bethlehem, and in a time of famine, went with her husband and sons into Moab. And while in Moab, her husband died, her sons died, and she had the feeling, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. Again, I never heard Ray complain. If he felt those things, he never expressed them. Whatever battles he most surely fought within, he never for a moment allowed it to hinder his service to God or to discourage his brothers and sisters in Christ. Quite the contrary. As I mentioned at the beginning, his example to his fellow believers rang louder and stronger than any sermon this preacher can ever preach. Those who sat near him during services say that in spite of his inability to speak in normal conversation, when it came time to worship God in song, the words would flow freely. Isn't that a curious thing? The frailties of the flesh are a peculiar thing. As we think about the fact that his condition robbed him of his ability to express the thoughts of his heart in ordinary speech, how touching it is that it could not silence his praise and worship of his God. And I can't help but look at that and think, what an evidence that is of the true nature of who we are. You know, one of the last times that Ray was able to be at breakfast, he was really struggling. And I had to help him stand up. And he was on a walker that rolled at that time that he could lean on. And I had to walk with him the entire way to the door before his brother picked him up so that he wouldn't fall. But as we think about that, Ray was more than the ailing flesh that imprisoned his soul. He was an eternal spirit made in the image of God. As each painful moment of his life ticked away, he could say with Paul, as in the text that Jay read for us a few moments ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I tell you, brothers and sisters, and I'm not alone in this, I know, I miss Ray. He taught me a lot of lessons. He taught me that I shouldn't dwell on self-pity. He taught me not to focus on the things that I can't do, but to look for what I can do and do it with every ounce of my being. I miss seeing him at breakfast. I miss seeing him before others would arrive at services. He taught me that I should love God more. Not because everything in life goes the way that I expect or because he spares me from having to suffer, but because he is my creator, he is my heavenly Father, and ultimately, he is the one who can deliver each and every one of us from all of the things that here in this life, in this place, are not as they ought to be. He taught me that I should love God's word more and that I should love God's people more. I miss him, but there's also a degree to which I envy him. And I say that because the day he passed, I told Tony, my wife, what a strange thing it must be for him. Think about that. For decades, he has been unable to express the thoughts of his heart. And yet, if I understand the nature of the soul when it passes from the body, and if I understand correctly the condition of those that abide in Christ, Ray, for the first time on December 17th in decades, could express freely the thoughts of his heart. Now, certainly, God is the judge of all men. But from all that I knew about Ray, he died in Christ. And because of this, he could say with Job once again, "After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me." If I understand it correctly, yes, the dead go to the Hadean realm. And yes, there is a place that is called paradise or Abraham's bosom, and a place of separation for those who are wicked. But from all that I understand, especially given Paul's wording that he desires to depart and to be with the Lord, even in that Hadean realm, there appears to be contact that one may have with God. And if that is correct, Ray now sees what we can only long to see. Ray sees the God in whom he put his hope and trust. Ray no longer has to just settle for "it is what it is." Now, what it is for Ray is more glorious than words can express. You and I, while we still live on in the flesh, we can only hope for and desire that time after the resurrection and the final judgment, when with Ray we can say, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." I hope to see you soon, Ray. It may be that there are some here this morning that have never put their faith in Jesus as the Son of God. I don't know why that is. I don't know if there's something that has hindered you. There's some reason that you still abide in a condition outside of Christ. Maybe there are things in this world that have allured you. Maybe there are reasons that you've come to think, "I've got more time." Think about the example that we've talked about this morning of Ray Aplin. He didn't know when it would be that the trials that came upon him would come. But he made the most of his life. He served his God the best that he could. And none of us knows what lies ahead of us. Are we serving the Lord faithfully now with what we can do? I would urge you, don't delay. I would urge you, put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent of sin that separates you from God. And this very morning, we'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of sins. If as a child of God, I hope you'll think about Ray and his example. He was my brother in Christ, and he challenged me to be better in the same way that any who knew him, he challenged to be better. And if you think about that and you realize, you know, I'm not serving the Lord as I should. Look at what Ray did. Look at what I'm neglecting. Don't just sit back and think that. Instead, commit yourself to turn to the Lord more faithfully. And perhaps there's some way in which we can encourage you in that. Perhaps there's some way in which you need to ask for the prayers of the brethren here. Or there's some sin that you're struggling with, and you need to ask that we put an arm around you and try to help strengthen you to avoid that sin. We are your brothers, we are your sisters in Christ, and we invite you to come while we stand and sing.